Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply Glory.
Well, good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad with it. I am Devon Breland, and founder of Urban Glory Campaigns. Welcome to the radio program for tonight. I'm live, which I rarely do now because we have new technology. But I want to do something before the end of the year. I want to kind of capsulize our study on redemption. We have been speaking on redemption for quite a while, and I believe that the Lord is going to continue to bless us in this study. So just bear with me one second as I give the message together and go straight in. I am excited about the things of God, and we still have an extensive outline that we have to cover that we've begun. So tonight we're continuing our series on redemptive living. I'm going to give a little review, and then I'm going to go straight into some new information. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do all that you can do. Anoint the people's ears to hear what the Spirit says for the church. And Father, everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. It is in the name of Jesus that we praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're talking about redemptive living. A foundational text was found in Isaiah. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. It is important for us to understand what it means to be redeemed. And in this particular lesson, we are pinpointing the relevance of God affording redemption through salvation as a way of life for us to experience his quality of life intended for us to live. It is our objective to affirm our redemptive history with scriptures that resolves our mandate of redemption to a lifestyle of righteousness intended for every believer. Redemption must begin where Jesus the man entered. It reveals the plan of salvation in addition to purchasing the eternal penalty for sin. And it provides power. That's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight in our next point. It provides power to live out our authentic Christianity. Redemption means to buy back into or to resolve the penalty of something purchased at a previous time that has not been fulfilled, and should not only be a revelation, but it should be a manifestation in our everyday life. Redemption manifests through submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit, because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life. In the first part of the lesson, we talked about laying out the platform of redemption. We went to Titus chapter 2, 11 through 15, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Those are the patterns of redemption. In this present world, looking unto the blessed hope, as the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. And we talked about laying out the platform. We gave you five scriptures that talk about how we are sufficient in Christ. We have sonship in Christ, saving faith in Christ, soundness of mind, and peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ. And we have a supernatural strength that comes as a result of relying on Jesus. And Christ is not Jesus' last name, but it is the measure of his spirit in that Jesus transferred to us so we can exist in this present world, instinctively aware of the God of the universe, enabling us to live out his life that he intends for us to live. Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I took you through Corinthians, and we talked about how that there are key areas that Christ must correct in the salvation process. First of all, he has to restore creation in our lives. That means he has to get provide an answer for the sins of old, corruption, sins for the culture, condemnation, sins for omission and chance, consecration, sins of religion, and then also confirmation, sins of the world. And we thank God for Jesus that he did that. Then the second point we led to was led to the pool of reconciliation, that what redemption does is reconcile. And it's not a miraculous work. It is a righteous resolve that we take in connecting with God's mandate for our lives and doing whatever we have to do to be right with God. Reconciliation is activated by our personal revelation rather than personal revelation, and it is a resolve on the matters of life. Reconciliation acknowledges the fact that we need forgiveness and submission to survive. Reconciliation is altered when we resolve to live by faith and not by sight. Reconciliation is anointed in the lives of every believer, and reconciliation is the ministry commanded of every believer to fulfill in life. Now, when I say believer to you, when I say believer, I'm talking about someone. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Our belief system is predicated as a Christian to connect to righteousness. And righteousness is the manner in which God enables us to live. So we go into this point that God gives us life for our path. And that's what we're going to pick up today. I don't know if I highlighted this or not, but I'm going to kind of go through it quickly, and then I'm going to hit a little bit of living a principled life. But point number three is we must have light for the path to life. Now, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Let me read it for you. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, I want you to understand that is all capsulized under the Holy Spirit. It is different dimensions of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives you, acquaints you with power, and then it acquaints you with his love, and then it deals with your soul. It deals with your soundness of mind. But be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. This is Paul speaking to the church, Timothy. But be thou a partaker of my afflictions of the gospel to the power of God. Now, the power of God is what enables us to live this life. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but is in power. Power is what people are craving for. Power is what people are hungry for. But power is what is in the realm of God. And God enables us to perform. Remember, the scripture tells us in Philippians that it is he that causes us both to will and do. That's power. The cause to will and do his good pleasure. Glory to God. So who has saved us? Let's keep reading. And called us with a holy calling. Now, you need to understand that you will not understand this power for life until you have an understanding on why you're here in the first place. And that's what the whole synopsis of redemptive living brings to the forefront, that God has given us a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to the purpose of his grace. There that word power goes again, because grace is divine enablement. It is God's ability to work on our behalf, although we do not deserve it, which was given Christ Jesus. Now, notice how they put Christ before Jesus and not Jesus Christ. They put Jesus Christ when Jesus was walking on the earth, but when they are speaking of the spirit that he possessed, they put Christ in front of it to let you know that this potential is not only resident in the man, but it's possible for you, because we can do all things, the scripture says, through Christ that gives us the strength. So when it puts Jesus before Christ, or when it puts Christ before Jesus in a text, it is really speaking to the believer that lives out this life. Before the world began, now it lets you understand that God is already in play. While we try to figure it out, God has already worked it out, because he makes known the end from the beginning. So he already purposed in himself to bring about a reconciliation, because it was a scheme of redemption in his heart. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. Now, when does the appearing of our Savior begin in the life of people who have not seen him? Every time they confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. And I want you to hear that. When we talk about light, now, you know, my ministry, the local church that I'm one of the founding fathers of, is enlightenment. We talk about the entrance of thy word giveth light. It causes, the Bible says in the beginning, let there be light. The Bible says that also in Psalms that God gives a light for our path. So light comes on and it awakens us to this life in Christ through the gospel. That's what the scripture says. Who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto we are appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher unto the Gentiles. And like Paul, so am I. Call to the people to bring light. And that's what we need to understand as Christians in life. We need light for our path. And we cannot receive that light without the gospel becoming alive in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And it baffles me how many Christians attempt to live out Christianity through mental ascent, through manipulations of belief systems, through masterminds of theology, versus going to the maker and causing a contact of power to awaken the light that comes through the gospel. It's something about preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And that's what enables the believer, once they hear the gospel, hear what Jesus has done, hear how Jesus lived, and they can connect to that power and be enabled to have that abundant life that Jesus died for. Jesus died so that we could have life. And those rights are this light for our path of life. When Christ is our life, the measure of grace allotted for, what am I talking about? This clarity gives a knowledge of our place in God. His plans also and his provision for the plans to be actualized in our daily living. The lifestyle is awakened through the revelation of the gospel. I'm just repeating what I've been reading as I gave you an exposition of 2 Timothy chapter 1 through 7. It provides God. The lifestyle is awakened through a revelation of the gospel, which is the intent of God's plan, released through his power on our behalf. The people to live out the reality he intends for us to live. Did you know that God has a reality that he intends for you to live? That's what Romans 8 says. For those whom he did foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. See, there's a predestination in the insides of our heart, which God has already orchestrated the steps that we should take. But if we don't rely on his power to unveil that path, we will live an alter reality that he had never intended us to live. But it is the light that draws us back into the knowledge of God. See, light is indicative of knowledge in the scripture. And God said in all that, get an understanding. And an understanding can only take place when you have wisdom and knowledge activated in your life. Wisdom and knowledge equals understanding. Understanding equals wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom equals knowledge and understanding. And knowledge equals wisdom and understanding. So what happens, and of course, you know, wisdom is the application of knowledge. Right? Understanding is the application of knowledge and wisdom. And wisdom is the application of understanding and knowledge. They all go hand in hand in the scripture. That's why you'll see in the Proverbs they use knowledge, wisdom, and understanding interchangeably. And the Holy Spirit elevates understanding, knowledge, and wisdom to truth. And that truth awakens a light within our hearts that causes the knowledge of God to be revealed. The light of God is the knowledge of God. And the light gives insight on what, when, why, who are connected to the plans that he has for our lives. Now, let me give you some scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie You can't walk in darkness, hallelujah, and be with God. That's the trying of our faith. We see so much going on in the world that we think that the darkness is God's reality. The Bible says, in him is light and there is no darkness at all. But verse John continues and says, we lie and do not the truth. See how that truth connects to the light? But if we walk in the light, hallelujah, as he is in the light, glory to God, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't it amazing how when people connect to the knowledge of God and people connect to the truth of God's word that gives light to our path, there can be real connections that happen? A lot of times, broken fellowships are a result of lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, not because of a lack of spirit, but because they have a lack of light to connect to what God has intended for us to achieve. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, not just Jesus, not just God, not just the Holy Spirit, but we can connect to each other. And the blood, the sacrifices that Jesus made, Jesus Christ, who is his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. See, that those are the things that we're not teaching in the church when it comes to redemption. What happens in redemption is God cleanses us deeply, a deep cleaning through light. He uses light. It's just like light. Scientists and doctors are using lasers, which is light rays, to get to the root of cancers and infections, and are using the advantages of light to shed on organs and instruments to restore them back, because we understand the power of light cleanses, it purifies. It refines us, glory to God. You know, when I teach stuff like this, I can't help but preach it because it's an inward understanding that goes beyond just natural comprehension. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Now go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 33-36, because, you know, you have to balance this perception of light. You need to see the relevance of light in the scripture in order to live it out. Because light starts the Bible. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was it. Light was throughout the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. God would send a pillar of fire to lead the children of Israel by day, or a cloud by day and a fire by night. Fire is always indicative of the Spirit. Understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and truth. But Luke 11, 33-36 says, no man, when he lighteth a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, put it on that they which come in may see the light. It gives you a definition of what light is. The light of the body is the eye. Now, it always ties back to Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. You get what I'm saying? Because the light of the body is the eye, the exposure, what you're exposed. Therefore, now listen to this part, when thine eye is single, the whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of the candle giveth thee light. Now, what is it telling you here? Light is a metaphor. It is a picture to depict the state of your spirit, the state of your soul, the state of the quality of life that you have. And light is a resolve to avoid and eradicate darkness in your life. How do you do it? You make a decisive decision to fix your eye, to fix your outlook, to fix your environment, to fix the things that entangle you in your existence. And you put it in an atmosphere that is focused on achieving the directives of God. And if the whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when it is bright shining, the candle doth give thee light. So even more light will come when you focus on God as a priority of life. Let's look at Psalms 36, verse 9. For with you is a fountain of life. In your light we see light. So as we reflect on God's life, we receive a revelation of God's light, God's power, God's wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. Psalms 43, verse 3 says, send forth thy light and your truth. Let them guide me, glory to God. Let them bring me to your holy mountain. See, what happens is this, and this is what is deceptive about the American culture of religion. We have not been drawn to worship through light. And it's caused a counterfeit system of Christianity to creep in. But glory to God, saints, if we would begin to focus in back on the light, the knowledge that draws us to press into the places of worship, God will awaken the places which we should go, and we will have encounters with the supernatural that provides power to transform our lives. God wants you to have a life so entangled and interchanged with power that it would be a distinctive mark on your life that nobody did it. Nobody placed you but him. He wants to put you in a quality of life and a quality of character and a quality of influence that no one can take credit but him. He wants to draw you in his light, because he sends forth your light in his truth. And if you let it guide you, it will bring you to a holy mountain, to the place where God dwells. And that's where God wants to get you. He wants to get you into faith and faith encounters. It is sad to see a whole Christian culture and population never connect internally the things that they're doing externally. It's one thing to sing songs and to preach sermons and to do things, but until you have an experience on the inside that connects to the world on the outside, your ingredients to worship and theology are in vain. You need an experience with God. You need an experience with power. You need an experience with life. Light that awakens you to see what you don't see. Light that awakens you to do what you can't do. Light that awakens you to truth that transforms you from the inside out. Truth that causes your mind to be transformed by the inward man that is renewed in the knowledge of God. That's the light of the path of life. Psalms 56, 12 through 13 says, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thanks offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I might walk before God in the light of life. That's a good place to kind of draw to a close. When we talk about redemptive living, The revelation of redemption draws us to the light for the path of life. That's what Timothy was given by Paul. Let's go back to our focus lesson for tonight. Paul was speaking to Timothy not to influence Timothy to mimic him. Yeah, I know we have scriptures that say follow those who have faith and patience inherit the promise. But it was a desire of Paul for Timothy to be a partaker of the afflictions that come with the gospel according to the power of God. I don't know, this is where I think ministry has been distorted amongst many people. We have not talked enough about the afflictions and the sufferings that come with the cuts of the cross. We have not We have not dealt with the afflictions that come with the reality of living out of power that we cannot contain in our mortality. We have not talked about the afflictions that are glorious, that are full of power and wonder. We have so reduced it to wishful thinking and prosperous hoopla that we forget that there's a greater message behind being enlightened. The address that Luke gives, the depiction of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is preaching about light because he understands that Christianity is not going to be a personal confession. It's going to be exemplified as the way that God is going to usher his kingdom in the earth. And it's going to come as a result of the world being set ablaze by fire. Not fire literally, but metaphorically. A fire that awakens us to a greater way. See, God leads his children by fire. The Holy Spirit is indicative of fire. You look what happened when God illuminated the people's reality with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Growth happened in the church. Answers that were hidden years of ages of time, prophets that desired to inquire information were resolved in the awakening of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives light for our path. You can't have a light without the power of the Holy Spirit. Timothy, I'm reminding you that Jesus died so that you can be able to manifest when he appears. Now, you got to understand this is some 70 to 90 years after Jesus had already died and resurrected from the dead. The church had already been established, and now Paul's third missionary journey is going on to Asia Minor and reaching to other parts of the Gentiles, and he's leaving Timothy to an area that he can focus on. And God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Because the spirit is light. It is the spirit that has power. It has love, and it has a soundness of mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. God has brought you through some stuff because of the things that I go through, because of the afflictions of the gospel, because of this power that you have that has saved us. It has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to the own purpose of his grace, and has given us Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. Where is it made manifest? Jesus wasn't walking on the earth. He wasn't even revealing himself. He only revealed himself 40 days after his resurrection. Then he went at the right hand of the Father, making up an intercession on his death. He is appearing himself, and everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord that is saved, everyone that calls out and says they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life. He's brought us life, but how did he bring it? He brought us through power. He brought us through power that transforms. And if you connect to that power that transforms the immortality to life that comes through the gospel, I'm trying to calm down, whereto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle. This power is going to affect your ministry. It's going to affect your quality of life. Timothy, don't give in to fear. Give in to faith. Give in to you trusting and depending on the power of God, so that when you go to live out your life, no one can speak for you. You got too much proof answering to the power that brings men to their knees. You have too much proof. It is the light of the power of God. Therefore, Timothy, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about you, Timothy. There are a generation that's coming that have never seen Jesus face to face, that will have an inward witness, light for the path of life. Amen, amen, and amen again. Let's pray. Father, in my deliberation and my passion behind preaching and teaching your word, let answers be revealed to the necessity of light for the world. We thank you for Jesus and the sacrifices made to reconcile us and to restore the light within that burns and keeps us resolving ultimately to righteousness. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Burn the fires within our souls again. Let the experiences that can only come through an encounter with the Holy Spirit awaken in the hearts of your people, hallelujah, a fire that floods our souls within. And God, I thank you for countless testimonies and witnesses of internal revelations of who you are and what you have planned for us in this earth realm. Father, I ask you to touch people and let them know what it means to be the ones that believe, the ones that crave after the salvation, salvific work of the Lord Jesus, the ones that have united with you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we might know the hope of the calling to us what we believe. Let this not be a religious thrill or a religious exercise, but let it be a manifestation of power that transforms our lives. Father, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. This is your servant's prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of the Urban Glory Radio. God bless you, and good night.